Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Bill Dawes. I don't know. Are you in a warehouse, closet? Where are you?
It's supposed to be a sound studio, but I very haphazardly put the little blue thing up. Maybe I should.
Are you in Texas?
Yeah.
Nice. You, dude, you're like, I don't know, you're in New York, LA, Texas. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a good way to feel like you're successful is to travel a lot, even though it's not the case.
Come on, you were like the most successful actor. You just did like, what, 20 days on a TV show or something with on Showtime? Well,
I did a show called City on a Hill, but they killed me off after four episodes.
That's still four more than most people.
Yeah.
Greg, how did they kill you off?
It was in the rain. Oh, they did like a rain shoot. It was actually kind of cool. They put like these things on tops of the roofs of buildings around you, that like sprinkler systems all around to create the rain.
Oh, wow.
So I get shot in the rain. Cool. I had to be there on my back, like dying, like while the rain coming down, I'm getting waterboarded. And they were like, oh, wait, there's a technical problem with the camera. And they ran for like 30 minutes.
Oh, man. That's all right. It's okay. It's all good. I told you when I did that show recently, and they're like, oh, here's your stunt double. I'm like, great. And he's like, I'm going to teach you how to do stunts. I'm like, wait, what? And then I had to learn how to get headbutt like 100 times in a row, which is pretty badass. But I thought he was the one that was.
Oh, you did? I didn't get a fight in it. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I get my ass kicked. Luckily, I don't die. So I still think I might be able to come back. But
you know, you're supposed to get stunt pay if you do stunts, if you do like above the normal. But like actors, we don't ask for it and they never get paid it.
Of course. I'm not going to ask him that. But yeah, so I'm in Vegas at a show last night. It was cool. Emily Whitmire came. I love Emily. She's like the sweetest girl. We talked about the time she was like going to weigh in or something, and there was a sick pigeon, and she like nursed the pigeon back to life. And she felt sick, and they were sick. So she came to the show, as well as John Wood and Joanne Calderwood. She's now Joanne Wood. Her name, last name was Calderwood. She married a guy named Wood. So dropped the Calder. Which was cool. And then it's always weird when like people come see you a lot. Like I feel like I have to have at least 20-30 new minutes, you know.
Yeah.
But then the people that are there haven't seen me, like the new, like they're new. So then I don't know. I'm always like, well, I don't want them to be like, oh, I heard this already. So I always want to write new shit. But then I'm like, well, do I do my old stuff? Luckily, like I do a lot of crowd work. But right, I literally got on stage and someone goes Vanilla Ice, which is like a 25-year. I mean, which I guess is cool, and I still kind of look like him, but I was like, word to your mother. You know, right away, I'm like fighting with this dude, and I'm just like, so he was a dickhead. Like, but like, I heard him, and not everyone else heard him, but people were just yelling stuff.
When you hear it, but the audience does it, oh, I hate that.
When you get a heckler in the front row, it's the worst, because you go on him, and everyone doesn't know why you're getting so mad. Everyone's like, oh, he's just flipping out. And then I like did the same joke twice. Like, I was so in my head, I did the same, and then no one laughed, and I'm like, I did that joke already, and I was like, yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is your fault, you know, there was a lesbian couple, a black couple that I didn't know was if it was a guy or girl, and I just said that, and luckily, they were dying laughing, and then I think my friends are here, then there's a porn star over there who I invited who's making out with some guy the whole time. It was just you know, then everyone was, once I, like, got that off my chest and just had, like, a complete mental breakdown, then the show was even better than ever.
So. I feel like your mental breakdowns are like the best. Like when you have a little bit of a breakdown, that's like the best time to see you.
Yeah, 100%. I kind of agree too. But luckily, it was good. It was actually like a fun night. And then I went back to my room, and people were like, "Yeah, you can go party." Well, I'm at the LA Comedy Club at the Strat.
Got it.
Yeah. And I was just saying, like, it used to go out and, like, you know, go out and have fun and strip clubs and this and that. I used to pick up strippers and this. It was always a fun. Now I'm just like, oh, back to my room. I'm like, oh, I can go to bed by 11. This is great. Just, I'll get 9 hours of sleep. This would be awesome. Plus, my wife and I, we have shared locations. I accidentally turn on my shared locations, so she knows where I'm at. But if I turn it off, she'll know something's up. You know, yeah, not that she doesn't trust me, but it's just the one time I went to a strip club with Dan Henderson, because like my wife was like 8 months pregnant, and Dan came and he's like, "Come to my after party." So I'm like, "All right, I'll go." So I go to the strip club with him, and he's dancing and having a blast. And Gian Vellante was there, and Ashley Yoder, and people were trying to buy me lap dances, and I'm like, "No, I'm good." I'm like, "I'll take a massage." You know, people give you massages. I'm like, "Oh," because I was stressed, right? But I didn't tell my wife about it. And until we were like on the way to, you know, she's having a baby, and she's like, and Howard Stern was on talking about strip club. I'm like, "I'm not even that good in Vegas." She's like, "Well, how do you know?" I'm like, "Oh, I went a couple." "What?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, you know, you went to a strip club when I was pregnant, you know, planning a fucking baby room with my mom." I'm like, "But it was Dan Henderson. You don't understand. He's got the H-bomb. I'm going to give you the fucking H-bomb." And then it was just sort of crying. Now like she's like crying while I'm driving. I'm like, "I didn't get a lap dance. All I got was a massage." "You got a
delivery room?"
It was on the way. Like she was like going into labor. I'm like, "I just got a massage. That's it. Just a fucking massage. You got a massage." No, it wasn't like a fucking handy at the end. It was, you know, some girl wearing a bikini. It just kept getting worse, dude. It was no winning the situation. What are you gonna do?
Girlfriend, when your woman's pregnant, you can't do anything. You're literally not allowed to go anywhere or do anything. Even if you went to a bar, it'd be like, "You went to a bar while I was pregnant." You can't do anything. There's no way.
I know. And now she wants to. And now we're thinking about having another one, but which I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's really on her. Like she's the one that has to carry the baby for 9 months. Like, you know, like I mean, it really is like her choice. I mean, like I know it is my choice, but like. You know, she's that's the hard part. People don't realize how, I mean, they do realize, but just anyway, let's talk about fights. Cause this is a fighting podcast.
not fights with our girls or wives. Yeah.
Dude. But like literally like, I mean, my wife the other day, she was, she pre-packed the lunches for the kid. Right. So I go and I didn't think that my kid had enough food in one of the bags. I put more food from one bag to another. And then she went to the other bag. There wasn't enough food in there. She's like, "You took the food out from there." I'm like, "Yeah." She was hungry. She's like, "So I got it. I got up early. I got enough." I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I used to fuck porn stars. Like I used to have threesomes. Like girls used to do coke off my dick. And now I'm getting fucking yelled at over this fucking bullshit. Like, ugh.
And then if you were to go back to that, you'd be like, "Oh God, I used to have a wife and a baby. Now some strippers snorting coke off my dick."
Dude, I like told my wife that. I was like, look, I was like in my 20s, right? I was in my 20s. And these two girls, I was giving out flyers at Hamburger Harry's comedy show in New York City on 45th and Broadway. And these two girls came and went back to their hotel room. One of them was like bigger. She was a very pretty face. The other one was like hot. And they lined coke off my I lie down, like lie down, they put coke, and the girl is about to snort and looks at me and goes, "We're never gonna be in a relationship." I don't know what got me more excited, to be honest. So I like told my wife that. I don't know why. You know what is during quarantine, you run out of people to talk to.
You run out of stories, you go way back for the deep duck cut stories.
Yeah, and the thing is like you try calling up a friend to talk to them, people are like, "Why are you calling me? Like, what do you want? Like, you don't just call." I used to talk for like hours with my friends on the phone when I was growing up. That was like fun. You call someone now, they're like, "Do you have AIDS? Like, are you dying? Like, what happened?"
You have a GoFundMe you're trying to start? What are you doing?
Seriously. So I told my wife about the cocaine off the penis story. And she goes, "How come you never did coke dick with me?" Like, I got yelled at for that. Like I'm like, because we have a child and we're not going to just do coke off my dick right now. Like, that's just not like a thing that we're doing. That's not like on the, we have to get up at 7 a.m. That's all we need now is, and the baby just gets out and crawls in our bed. And it's all she needs now is like, "What are you doing, mommy?" Like, nothing, you know, like just talk about anyway. Charles Oliveira versus Dustin Poirier.
Oh, what a good, So exciting.
I don't know, man. This is one of those fights I keep going back and forth. I don't know who wins this fight. I don't know, because it's like McGregor. Like, we all, Poirier looked great his last couple fights, but he really looked great against Conor McGregor. But it was like, how bad was McGregor that fight? You know, like, he's like that factor. Because McGregor went from being so good, he hasn't looked the same since the Mayweather fight.
No, I mean, not at all.
I mean, yeah, you could say the Donald Cerrone fight, but that Cerrone just laid an egg in that fight. I mean, I know he broke his nose and it was orbital and this and that, and yada, yada. But that was not the same Donald Cerrone that fought, you know, the guy he fought a couple weeks later or a couple months later. So speaking of fighters, we got this girl, Britton Hart, the bare knuckle boxing champion, is joining us. She beat Pearl Gonzalez, and she beat Paige VanZant. This girl's on a tear. She is on a tear.
I love that, girl. Fighting is for lovers. I love that.
I know. Thank you. It's me and my husband's shirt. We collabed on it. And we were like, we're really going to take off with that. Because, you know, it really is. It's something that obviously me and Joey represent. But a lot of people can get behind that, you know. Fighting doesn't have to be like some people think it's so brutal, or, you know, bullies have to do it, or me. But, you know, people can be lovers too and go do it just, you know, for fitness, to make themselves feel good. You know, fighting brings – how many times have we seen opponents get in the ring and at the end they give a hug? Like, that's right there. Fighting is for lovers.
Well, they're not really making love at the end, but I hear you, though. I like
Right.
I mean, there is this thing called – there was this porn where, like, the winner banged the loser.
Oh, my God.
But
we're not into that.
Yeah, no, that's a whole other one. I think that's called Ultimate Surrender, I think it was called. And I like knew one of the girls that was in it. Anyway, but back to you, Britton Hart. You are on a tear. That Pearl Gonzalez fight was great. That was a great fight. That was a tough fight. Were you worried at the end that they might have gone to Pearl?
You know, it was one of those things that I was actually in the fifth round. The fourth ones, I was really tactical and I really was on it. And then when my coach and my team said to me in the fifth one, like, I think you can even see it on camera, they're like, yeah, that round was a toss-up. You need to go out and win that. So in my mind, when I heard that, I knew I was cut. And I knew there was something wrong with my mouth because I couldn't close my mouth all the way. So I knew with that sense of urgency that I had to go out and do it. And, I mean, I felt like – at the end, I mean, obviously, I guess my bizarre behavior showed it, you know, because I really thought that I did win. And then at the end, it was kind of like, it was just, I should have probably done that from in the first round. But, you know, you don't want to butt load, so to speak. So I knew it when I went up there. You know, that's why you hear a lot of people talking on the internet and social media, and they're like, oh, you know, you Pearl got robbed, you lost. And I'm like, really? This is what you have to go to. Turn off the noise, turn off other people's comments, and go look at me and her side by side before they called the winners, and whose face told you they won. Hers was sad, looking down, like, man, I know I didn't cut it. And my face was like, well, I won. I got this. I'm number one.
It was a great fight. I mean, it also looked like you had you really mastered like all the like the small nuances of bare knuckle boxing. Like, you know exactly how, when to hold the back and when to punch and this and that. Like, you really, it's a real science, and it seems like you really conquered it.
It really is. You know, it's kind of crazy. A lot of people don't know this about me. Again, it's funny when you read the comments and see it, but I actually have my master's degree, and a lot of people that do know that about me are kind of mean to me about it. They're like, oh my God, you go and fight when you have a master's degree. You're so smart. You know, I graduated with a 4.0, and I'm like, I am using it. You guys just don't realize the things that I can see and read in the ring. And really, again, it's not the tough man that survives. It's the smart man, you know, the smart one. So when you can go in there and make adjustments and know what's working, you know, I've actually gotten into the habit, again, from experience. I studied one fighter, studied, and I went in the ring with her, and she switched to a southpaw stance on me, and I froze because I was like, whoa, this girl's never done that before. What the hell? And it really fucked me over. So going forth, I've never really watched the film on fighters, because if you're fighting for that fighter, you know, you might really screw yourself. You should be able to handle, hey, you know, like, look at what they really have, like the obvious things, like if they're taller or shorter. But you know, just being ready for anything. And so we drill that constantly. We spar different people. Like where before in the past, I only sparred people that were like relatively that my opponent's size. But now, you know, I'm doing tall, short, southpaw. We switch stances. And in bare knuckle, a big thing about that is I'm a boxer. People don't really switch stances, but MMA, they switch stances all the time. So knowing that that's going to come, I can't get caught in that. So I really adapted to that. And then same thing, everyone was like, just little things you learn to help you grow from the Paige VanZant fight. They're like those uppercuts. So I've gotten really close to fighting in the clinch, but it's very like optical illusion, like you just said. So it's super cool that you noticed that, because I only thought me and my team did. But we know how to stay away where we can fight inside but not be right up to get those. I mean, basically when you're like this, it's 50-50 land. Like I punch, you punch, you know, you rock 'em, sock 'em robots. But when you have that distance and range, you can see things come in, and we got really used to parrying down. And then when I feel both hands on me, that's when I'm like, I'm not clinching, because if you have both hands on me, that both of my hands are free. So that's when you kind of see, like, you know, people be like, oh, that's wild and stuff. But really, you know, that wild is, hey, I have all the free reign to do that because both these girls' hands are on me somewhere, so I can do whatever and cause damage.
No, you can totally tell, 100%. But your post fights are always the funniest. I mean, the one with Paige VanZant, where, like, you, I don't know, Bill, if you saw. So she beats Paige VanZant, and everyone was all about Paige. Everybody was like, I don't know what she got paid, but it was a lot of money. And Britton kind of got fucked in that, in a way, because if people were overlooking Britton, who was also a very beautiful girl. I mean, hot as well. No offense. I mean, Joey's, you know, obviously a girl, but very attractive girl. But everyone, Paige. So she beats Paige VanZant. And then she's like, your speech was like, I'm not a person. I'm a feeling. And I want you to feel me. Like, that was the... That should be a t-shirt right there. I don't even know. And then Jenny Savage, like, hops in the thing, and then she throws a water on her. It was chaos.
WWE, is this stuff intentional? Like, did you know that was going to happen? Are they promoting it like that?
No. Oh, that's why when so you hear that from time to time, but it's like, man, if that was intentional, I would have, like he said, I would have said, hey, I'm a fucking feeling, I would have dropped the mic. But I kept going, you know, because obviously it's just so emotional. I had no idea. And when she came in, like, you can kind of see it on my face. I'm like, who is that? Like, I didn't even recognize, like, she, and I'm not being mean, but she looked like some hooker prostitute, Halloween costume. It was really hard for me to realize. I was like, oh, it's Jenny Savage. I'm not worried about her. And I just happened to have the water, because our sponsors are CBD water. And it was just perfect. But they weren't too happy. You know, the camera, my boss wasn't too happy that I did that. But, you know, it is what it is.
It got millions of views, though. And people were dying laughing. I mean, it was so funny. And I'm friends with Jenny. And Jenny said that, like, basically, she was, like, up for 24 hours straight. They told her she was going to get a flight. They didn't give her a hotel. And she was just like – and then she was like, fuck it, I'm going in. And so – and, it, you know, it set up your next fight with Jenny, which, like, you fucking wrecked Jenny. That was a great showing for you, which set up the Pearl fight. But it does – man, I mean, you're taking on all the hot girls. Like, what's going on? Like, are you just – is this your goal, just to get rid of all the hot chicks and –
No, it's not, actually. It's kind of funny because, like, when I started off in boxing, it was the same in boxing, man. I never had money. You know, I was really broke. I had, like, literally sleeping out of my car. So I was taking these fights for, like, $1,000 from my purse, just trying to get noticed, because I know I have what it takes. And so I didn't have the money for the lower tier of the fighters, so they just jumped me up to, like, all the hardest. So that's why, again, I'm so great in bare knuckle, because these girls that are coming in might not know what it's like with a big stage and all the people and stuff. But good for me, even though, you know, my record is, you know, not the greatest in boxing, but you got to really be like a fight fan and look who I fought. And I fought, you know, right now I have like 3 world champions that I've fought that I've gotten, you know, either really close split decision with or a draw, which is basically me winning, but I'm in their backyard and they're world champions, so they don't want me to win. But I fought really hard people in boxing, and so my name, that's exactly what it did. It got me noticed. So they didn't think I was the best, but they're like, this girl's tough and durable. So when I went over to bare knuckle, you know, I felt like they were like, well, this is a girl who has skills and good, but she's not going to be that much to edge out these pretty MMA girls that have huge followings. You know, they're going to be challenging, or Britain's going to be challenging for them, but not enough to like edge them out. And now that people don't realize is that I really suffered and sacrificed and bled for this shit. So now when I go in there, this is what I was waiting for. So I have been taking them out, and then it's kind of, you know, odd because I try to get these other fights and they're like, no, you're too experienced for her. You're too this for her. And it's kind of like, it's very, you know, I'm not in control of it. Like, I don't get to pick. I wish I did, but I don't get to pick my opponents. I begged for Jenny Savage just because of the water thing. Begged for them. And they're like, we don't know. We really want you to rematch Paige for the belt. And Jenny Savage is too much of a liability. What if she cuts you? And I was like, look, I promise you, this girl is not going to hurt me. Like, I'm going to murder this girl. Please give me that fight. And I had to beg for it. And it was like, they tried to match me up with like three other people and it fell out. And so last minute, they're like, okay, fine, you can have Jenny Savage. So it wasn't even like you said, you would think that the buildup for Jenny Savage and me was already determined when she came in. But I asked for that fight over and over and they wouldn't give it to me. So finally when it did, because, you know, they're trying to wait around for the bet to come back or somebody else. And like, I try to fight Christine all the time too. And it's kind of funny because they're like, oh, people don't really want to see that fight. And I'm like, well, it's all over social media. But basically they're trying to interpret that it's just her fans that want that fight, not as a mass, because her viewership and is so low. Like if you look at all her fights, me and her fight, back in like 2019 has the most views. So it's hilarious when she's like, oh, Britain wants my clout. And it's like, your video and fight with me has the most views. All your other fights have lower views than me. And so it's kind of stupid when you hear about it, like that it's really become a, you know, with COVID everything, it's really become a virtual social media warfare, basically. Like you see the TikTokers, you see the Jake Pauls, and you see those type of fighters really advancing. But you know, that's what today is unfortunately come to, is how many followers, who you're tangled with in marketing. But for me, you know, I'm just trying to attack it because I'm a true fighter. I'm trying to attack it on all levels. Like, I have the skills, you know, what else do I need? Do I need to, you know, talk shit to promote myself? Do I need to go out there and go, you know, what you see me enjoy trying to not play in that game. We're visiting other people and doing it in the positivity way and try to be like motivation and stuff. But you know, we're at the end of the day, I'm kind of going back to my thing. I'm a real person. It means like, I'm not just doing the things for clout. Like I'm doing the things that are real and see, but in hindsight, it actually translates over to being views and followers because people like that, you know, people want to see somebody really working or going out there and being just an average, you know, girl next door, guy next door, because it kind of gives them hope and motivation that they can do it too. They don't have to be, you know, so many people get down themselves, be like, oh, I'll never look like that girl. I'll never be that guy. I don't have huge muscles. I don't have a six pack. You know, I have to have all that stuff to be a fighter, follow your dreams.
So Britton, I have a question for you. Are you now retired from boxing, just regular boxing? Or are you still box?
I actually just finished my contract with Bare Knuckles. So I'm actually a free agent right now. So I can do whatever. So I had a contract that prevented me from boxing. So that's why I kind of had to, you know, choose what was better for me. And I chose Bare Knuckles. So now I can go, you know, I'm kind of just waiting. Again, this kind of bullshit with this whole tournament you hear in Bare Knuckle or whatever is going on with the girls in Bare Knuckle. I would love to fight and I'm here ready. But I really want to go, you know, it's kind of like boxing is exciting and my first love. And what I really want to go back and be like this to all the boxing people and be like, oh, I can make it. And now I'm somebody. So you guys got to, you know, give me a fair shot. Like, I fought for my fair shot. It's kind of like Bare Knuckle was me proving myself in the boxing world. So now when I go to boxing, like I said, remember I told you those three girls that hold belts? I'm going to go to boxing and call those girls out and be like, get out of your hometown, come challenge me, I'm gonna take your belt. So I really want to go back because I think in boxing I was missing one itty bitty piece, well, two itty bitty pieces. I was missing a really fucking good team, which I have now, and I was missing like that almost like, I want to say confidence, like no fear and doubt. Like, and it's not that I'm scared of getting hurt. But you know, it's always the fear of failure. Like I always like get nervous. I'm gonna let people down that I'm going to go in and not win. And people are going to think this or say this, you know, that's always been my downfall of taking things too personal and putting a lot of weight on myself. So now I think going into bare knuckle now, I'm going to be like, wow, please hit me with a glove. I love it. Like, I'm not going to have any fear at all because I think, you know, I've established my skills and I feel super confident. I love sparring again. You know, even sparring with anybody is super fun. And it's only when the gloves come off, I'm like, you know, do I really need to go? Should I wait? Should I get better timing? So now with boxing, yeah, hit me with a glove. I'm going to come back with 6 more punches and it's going to be all good.
Yeah, you fought one of Mayweather's fighters on like 1 week notice, right? And then it was a draw? Yeah.
Sure did. And she's the number one girl I'm calling out, Jamie Mitchell. So I'm coming for that belt if she sees this.
And then you went to Philly, right?
Philly. And I did. I bet. And that one was a weird toss up. That was like, I went through 3 different opponents and they all kind of backed out. And I was like, and you know how much I took that fight for? Oh, I'm so mad at myself. $500. $500 what I got paid in Philly to fight that girl. And like I said, she was kind of last and she didn't have a good record. She was like, I think 0-3. And so I was like, ah, fuck it, whatever. $500, this girl's act, you know. But she was from the area, you know, she lived there. And when you, again, being a true fight fan, it's knowledge in the game. When you look at who she fought like Heather Hardy. She fought really good people. So she was kind of like me. And, you know, I think that I won that fight, but I, you know, I'm not making excuses. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. But, you know, it was a good lesson, though, because after the fight, it was a draw. That girl was like, yeah, I got my first draw. I lost. And I'm like, pouting. And then it was at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? No matter what, I want to be like that girl. I don't want to be pouting. It's part of life. You win or you lose. And so, you know, I've taken a couple losses and I'm just like, man, I keep learning and keep trucking. So it was a good fight for me in the fact that I learned a very valuable lesson.
Now you grew up, you were an army brat?
Yeah, Air Force. Yeah. So I grew up over in Germany until I was 10.
Wow. So do you speak German?
I did. I was really good because we actually didn't live on base. We lived off base in Kaiserslautern. And so I lived like above a grocery store. So we had to share a community refrigerator. And so we had to go to the market and go buy our food every day. So anyways, I spoke really good. When I moved to Virginia and went to school, people were like really mean. I got really bullied really bad. And they're like, oh, you're a German girl. You're not from here. And then they're like, say something in German, and I would say something, and then they'd start laughing. Or like one time I was outside at recess, and they pushed me down a big hill, blah blah blah. But anyways, it was sports. I was really good at soccer, so I started playing soccer, beating everyone in soccer, and they kind of eased off me a little bit. But I knew, you know, just being a small child, I was like, oh, if I speak German, that's bad.
Where in Virginia were you?
What?
Where in Virginia did you go to school?
It's called Huddleston. It's like, it's close to Roanoke. It's near Roanoke area, about 40 minutes.
Deep South. Yeah. Got it. No, I'm from Virginia too. So I know the area. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you go to college, but you don't start fighting until you're 25 years old.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that's amazing that you're a world champion right now and you started at 25 years old. That's insane. Yep.
But were you doing a lot of unofficial fighting before then?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, you know, when I was in elementary school, I was bullied that way. I didn't really win then, but, you know, so again, it's like losing makes you into a champion. But when I went to middle school, it was actually, it's kind of cool because at my high school graduation, our middle school principal was like the guest speaker and he brought up one of my fights at the, like when we were graduating. And he was like, I remember, and basically it was the same thing. This kid was being bullied, you know, and they were calling him the N-word, and I was like kind of whatever, and the boy started crying. So I stepped in front of these 3 guys with their camo redneck jackets, and I was like, all right, leave him alone, he's had enough. And then this other girl came in, she's like, Britton, mind your own business. And I was like, oh yeah, bah. And then it got in that field day. So it was like a huge, like big dog pile. And so anyways, a lot of people got black eyes. Long story short, I went to the principal's office. He's like, first off the record, I heard all the stories from everybody else and I'm proud of you. Don't tell anybody that. But I have to suspend you because you hit people and caused damage. So anyways, I got suspended. So that was my first time I got suspended. And then I played basketball and I got suspended off the basketball team because I got in my third strike. So I got in 3 fights on the basketball team. And then after that, you know, I got into some rowdy group when I was in high school and we fought, we did country things, four-wheeling and private parties. And whenever, you know, this girl was like, boo-hoo, this girl's showing up with my ex-boyfriend. I was like, oh. And so, you know, I was always like kind of like the defender though, but I got into fights that way. And then, you know, unfortunately when I was young, I had my son very young. So I had to learn the hard way and fight through that. And then that kind of snowballed me into being in not like very toxic relationships. So I had to fight that way. And then it just like all these crazy things and they kind of just spiraled out of control, but it always kind of led back to, you know, worst case scenario. You know, when I kind of lose that, you know, it's not like I don't want to say I have anger management problems, but if something happens, I definitely am not scared to throw a bare fist.
Well, Britton, it is an honor to have you on the show. I love your story. It's an amazing story. Where can people follow you and find you?
Yeah, so I'm married to the amazing Joey Beltran, which is his birthday. So happy 40th birthday to him.
Happy birthday, Joey.
Yeah, so my last name changed. So everything now is switched over. So it's at Team Britton Beltran. So, you know, whether it's on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, it's at Team Britton Beltran. So I'm really going to do some great things. I'm honestly looking at kind of part of my message and why I always have the Phoenix logo, why you've heard my story. It's always about like sometimes your old self has to burn and you have to go through some shit to be reborn. And so this is like me being reborn in the best way. So I'm kind of trying to rebrand and reimage that way. So definitely follow me because there's going to be new exciting things. But I, you know, shout out to everyone who's gone through what I've gone through, whether it's an abusive relationship, being broke, being in the legal system. I've been there, done that, and I'm walking proof that you can make the life of your dreams. So keep falling, and I'm excited for this change.
I love it. Would love to have you back on as soon as possible. And thank you. Thank you, Britton.
Yes, thank you, Adam. I'm going to work on my funny shit, too. You might see me in San Diego, too.
Fuck yeah, I'm in. Take care, Britton.
All right, bye, guys.
Right. What's up, people? Cryptocurrency is the future, so don't get left in the past. Bet with my bookie. You can get in the game now. To get you kickstarted with crypto, use promo code MMAROASTED to double your first crypto deposit at my bookie. The best part is my bookie accepts well-known cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Litecoin, and Ethereum, so you can bet and withdraw with crypto. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. This Saturday night, the UFC is closing out 2021 with a bang, with 2 world title fights going down at UFC 269. Yeah, I'm excited. I am so pumped. Headlined by the light championship fight between Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. And this bout is a true coin flip. I keep going back and forth. I don't know who's going to win, okay? Both men have finish rates of over 75%, so you know this one's not going to the scorecards. Don't miss out. Double your first deposit up to $1,000 by using the promo code MMAROASTED. Head to MyBookie today, place your bets, and watch the sparks fly with UFC 269. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. That's what I'm talking about. All right. That was Britton, man. That girl's a firecracker.
Right. Yeah, she probably sleeps like 2 hours a night. You can tell, right?
We're here with Merab. How do I say the last name? I don't want to kill the last name. How do I say it, Merab?
Merab Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili, who is one of the best fighters in the world. This dude right here is a monster. I've been following him ever since, even like before the John Dodson fight. Your first fight in the UFC was amazing. His gas tank is next level. He never gets tired. Merab, what's the secret? How do you get your kind of stamina? Talk to me. I do 20 minutes on the treadmill. I'm like looking at the clock. I'm sweaty. How do I get your kind of gas tank?
I it's hard work, training hard with them. And I have best training partner, Aljamain Sterling. He makes my cardio good.
Aljamain Sterling, is the he's like the answer, really?
Yes. You know, everything I do, all life, everything, like jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, kickboxing, I work out, running, swimming, and the girls too.
the lady, I like it. I'm telling you, okay, it's cardio in the bedroom right here. That's how it is. Cardio in the bedroom. Who would have thought? Your last fight, you see his last fight against Marlon Moraes?
Yes.
He got hit so hard, I thought it was out. I was crying. I was like, no, my whole family. And somehow he recovered. I don't know. You actually like ran. You ran away. It was the smartest tactic. It was like he chased you, then he got tired chasing, and then you ran away, you got your wits back, and then you beat the shit out of him in the second round. Like, how did that happen? Talk about that fight. Hello?
Hey, man. I was prepared for war, and I was prepared for get hurt, get punched. Marlon Morales, he's dangerous, and he has a knockout power, you know, even
he's
so strong. I was prepared, and then when I go in,
Bill.
But fighting, before fights, always the referees comes in locker room and they will explain the rules again, like because every state has different rules. And then, they tell you, like, when somebody's down, no knees in the head or, like, something like that. And then I always tell referees, then if I get dropped or knocked down, don't stop early. No, let me fight. Let me die. Because sometimes we see that the referees jump in, that they stop fighters early. You know, sometimes somebody like just like bouncing, yeah. And then the referees rush.
Difference? You ask them. Do you think that makes a difference for refs that they will let it go longer because you requested it? Do you think that will happen?
Yeah, I always tell because I want to secure the. It's never because I saw other fight. Before last fight, I never been dropped, never been knocked down, but. But I see other guys, and they get dropped, knocked down, and then the referees jump right away. So I don't want to. I never want to happen to me because I know this is fight, and somehow, some way, the accidents can happen, and you can get a strong punch or kick, and then you may wobble. But we are fighters, you know. We can wrestling, grab, fight, do submission or other things. That's why I tell referee, but the kid Peterson, he's the best. Actually, he don't really need to tell him specific because he's a really professional. He never rush. He let them fighters fight. So and but I still tell him. And then
Well, it worked, man. I got. I mean,
yes,
you've won.
Okay, everybody see.
And you haven't lost since 2018. Even that Ricky Simone fight, that was a weird fight. You beat Marlon Moraes. You beat Cody Stamann. You beat John Dodson. You beat Gustavo Lopez, Casey Kenney, Brad Katona. I mean, you've beaten a tough roster. These are not easy guys. Are you? I mean, what? How many fights away you think you are for a title shot?
Gotta be tough.
The thing is, I'm not chasing title now. My friend Aljamain Sterling, he's champion now, and I believe he will defend his belt against Peter Yan, and he will be champion long as he wants, and he will keep fight to title. he's best. I mean, he's my training partner, my friend, and such a good guy. And I always look up to him. And so, for now, I don't care title. I just want to fight. And I still have a couple, like maybe like one more or two more to deserve the title, because now my division is stuck now. Everybody knows about it. Like even Jose Aldo win like this fight, but he still has to go through TJ Dillashaw or somebody else. I was wishing to he will fight me, but no, I don't think he's gonna fight me. Because he was number 5, I was number 6, and now, yeah. So, anyways, I just want a big fight, maybe main event or something. Big fights that make sense, and I'm just enjoying. I'm happy what I do, and I love fighting. I was fighting for free, and I can still fight free, but now I'm happy with UFC. I make good money, like, and then like people likes watch my fights and good life.
You know? Weren't you calling out Sean O'Malley for a while?
Yes, yes. Like since my first win UFC, I was calling him out. Yes, that's only one fight that I was asking for. Like I was asking this fight, please let me fight this guy, but I don't know why not. Maybe he don't want to fight, or I don't know. It's like I never ask for like give me this fight, whatever the UFC offer me, I always say yes, and I always will do. But I don't know. I wish him best luck for this fight. And I'm still willing to fight him because I'm ranked 6. He's, I think, I don't know, unranked or top 15. I still want to fight him, and then because I want to fight fights, and I'm sure people will love this fight because they call me grappler. He's the best striker, and of course he's good jiu-jitsu too. And then that would be fun match. That would be because we are same weight class, and the fights makes me excited because he's winning good fights. You know, he knocks people out, and I wanna challenge myself.
I have a question: Sambo versus jiu-jitsu. What gives? What's better?
Jiu-jitsu all day.
Really?
Yeah.
You were second in the world in Sambo, right?
Yes, but Sambo, it's like more takedowns, it's more wrestling. There is like leg locks there, and then armbars. You cannot in combat Sambo you can choke, but wrestling Sambo no choke. The Sambo is good, but like if we say grappling, like yeah, Sambo. Okay, let's say Sambo guy, I can take the guys down, no problem. But the jiu-jitsu is other level. It's like they can grab your arm, and then they can choke you. They can like alligator. They can grab, and like you know the jiu-jitsu is best. You know, jiu-jitsu.
Why did you move from Georgia, the country Georgia, to Long Island? Like, how did that happen?
I have dream. I'm living in my dream now, but I have a dream to come UFC fight there. And but I don't accept. I wasn't thinking to if this should be this much hard. That was so hard. Like I moved like 9 years ago. I was fighting in Georgia. I have a 10 fights there, and I was winning fights in Georgia, and it was easy for me. I was going like a fight like crazy. Sorry, I'm going. And then just give me one second. I'm not.
Okay. All right. Okay, got you.
Yeah.
Is that your training compound?
That's a UFC PI.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to the UFC Performance Institute.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. This dude's he's all right. So just so as you know, this guy's a monster. He's only 30 years old. He grew up in Georgia. He's got only 3 knockouts, 10 decision wins. He's got four losses, but some of them are a little disputed. The split decision to Frankie Saenz. Ricky Simone, that was a weird – weren't you, like, not – wasn't that fight, like, you were still awake, but they called it a submission or something? Or it was something weird was going on there. He's an absolute monster. He was in Long Island, but he moved to Las Vegas. Well, you moved from Georgia to Long Island. Why? How come?
Yeah. So once I have a first fight in MMA, I know that I love this sport, and that was for me. I can be successful on this, and I find it myself because I was doing before sambo and judo. This is great sport. Judo is Olympic sport, but there are so many rules and like you can't be yourself. A fighter, you can be yourself. You do whatever you want, fight however you want. Just show yourself. Fight hard, or wrestling, or punching, or enjoy. And then, and then I have 10 fights in Georgia. I was winning, and I make decision to come US to go UFC. I was thinking that can be easy because I can fight like my weight class guys and beat some guys and go UFC because I was thinking nobody can stop me. But and for when I came, and I cannot even find the MMA gym because that time I wasn't. Like social media wasn't this big, and then I wasn't followed this much like UFC fighters, and wasn't this big, and it was so hard to. I wasn't even know how to use like Google. I know, but I wasn't like today. Yeah. Like today, I looking for some place. I just Google. That's it. You know where is this? Whatever. So it's simple. But that time I wasn't okay. Anyways, so and then I was training. A local gym, the small gym, they like more fitness gym, and they have a guy, you know, punching bags, and then the girl, the coach was boxer, and some girls and ladies and the kids was training there for cutting weights, and I was punching bags like all day, and I wasn't getting better. I was depressed. I said, why I came US? I was training better in Georgia, and then the coach, he cannot even find me MMA fights, and I was fighting boxing fights. I'm a wrestler. I'm taking down people down. So and then I'm not a boxer, but
yeah.
I have four boxing fights and then two kickboxing fights, but and I was missing fight MMA and then I said, and then the point was I have to start a work because I spent all my money, whatever. So and then I started work construction. I was working outside New York, Long Island, and that was so hard and cold. And I said I should focus work and get better and maybe open my own company, construction company, and make money, because why I'm wasting time because I'm getting prison in outside and then I cannot even fight MMA, and then that was so far to I realized how far I was to come UFC fighter. I know that was, you know, that I, you know, anyway, and then all and I was thinking like this, but I was still training, running, and hit punching bags. You know, I wasn't getting good shape. But I finally find that my team, Saralongo team, and once I go the gym, and I realize that I can start a dream again for.
Okay, you know, so get it straight. So you move to New York, find a local gym. You don't know what's going on. You're punching a bag. Some girls giving you fights, kickboxing fights, and you're a wrestler. Yeah. You're like, what am I doing? You're working construction. You have no idea what's going on. You finally found Saralongo. I don't know how you found it. And all of a sudden, it's like, what? And all of a sudden, people are like, now when you walk into Saralongo, are people like, where the fuck did this guy come from? Who is this guy?
Yeah, that's what exactly. They was calling me Russian guy. And then I said, no Russian. we don't like Russia. You know, like, you know, I'm a Georgian. And then, this crazy guy.
So, I mean, you have any money saved at all? How much is your apartment or, like?
So, my friend was living in Long Island. He was renting house and then I was with my friend and then we rent room from him. And I was living in a room and then that time, yeah, I don't have a car. I was using he was working construction and I was going to him, with him to construction. But to go gym, I was using bicycle. I have bicycle.
So you're riding, you were literally riding your bike to the gym in Long Island and it's freezing sometimes in the winter.
Yeah.
I'm from Long Island. It's not like an easy bike ride.
Yeah.
And then it was like what, 10 miles, 15 miles?
Like I need at least 30 minutes to get there. So.
30 minutes on the bike, on your little bike to get to the gym with your wrestling shoes and your gi and everything else. Now, is Matt Serra just like, and Ray Longo, are they in heaven when you come in? Because they're like, who is this guy? They must have loved you.
They're such a good people and they was very welcome and and then even like that time I don't even speak English and my English was terrible, but Matt Serra is such a funny and he always find the communication like language, I don't know body language, I don't know somehow, but Ray once he tried to talk to me and then I said yes about everything. He's like, okay.
Now at this point, are you ranked number 2 in the world in sambo?
No, I wasn't.
But you already had like 10 fights on you. You had 10 fights.
10 fights, MMA fights, but it wasn't in shared dog or mixed apology or mixed martial arts. I have like a pro fight, but it wasn't official.
They weren't sanctioned fights. You had 10 unsanctioned fights.
Right. It was on YouTube. I delete after this because I was getting hard time to find the fights because everybody Google my name. They don't see. I don't have like a fights official, but they see videos in YouTube. Like this guy fucking crazy. You know. Like,
now the Long Island women. Did you have any luck? Because it's hard to get laid in Long Island without an accent. So you have this. You can't speak English. You're not getting any pussy. Am I right? In Long Island, it must have been.
That was another hard time. That was I was chasing Georgia. I was going to Brooklyn with I was going to Brooklyn and in Brooklyn there is big community Georgians and I speak Georgian.
So. Okay, yeah. Wow, you gotta travel pretty far. So you're getting some Georgia. Yeah. Gotcha. All right, cool. So you getting some.
Yeah, so I was still in Georgians. So that was easy for me. And yeah.
Aldemade and Ally Quinta, those guys were all really nice to you.
Yes, yeah, such a nice guy. And then, yeah, I finally met them, real fighters. And then Al was fighting already UFC. Aljo was like defend his title for CFFC. And he was getting ready for UFC. And I said, this is right place. And I was fighting with other guys and I was doing good. But one day Ray told me, now you gotta sparring one round with Aljo. Then Aljo already sparring one round with someone. I was supposed to sparring with one, and then third guy was ready. And then I said okay. And then I started sparring. I shoot to try take him down. Once I take him down, Aljo got me choked, and then I tap. Oh fuck! I said maybe it's accident. Okay, I continue sparring again, and then he choked me again, or he submitted a triangle. I'm like, what the fuck? And then in 5 minutes, he tapped me 3 times.
Wow.
And I went depressed again. Yeah, okay. I find a good gym, but this guy, pro guy, yeah, like he submitted me like this, and I said, I'm not ready. I guess I was such a depressed, you know, like I realized that I need so much work. So I mean, whatever. So and then I'm like, whatever. And then, but I always, I started working, and every time I was going with Aljo, I was doing better and better. But of course, but that was like, that's where I realized I was such a far from like, to be this level. So
I mean, look at where you come. I remember watching your Rufián Stotts fight. You knocked him out in 15 seconds. This is crazy because Rufián Stotts is like one of the best in the world. He's in the Bellator. He's on like a 15 fight winning streak. This is only losses to Merab. You hit him with like a spinning back elbow, right? That was, I mean, what was that move that you did?
Yeah. Okay. What happened was, actually before if you have a time, I will tell you my story quick and then.
I got all the time. Dude, come on. This is you. Yeah. I got time for you. All right.
And then Sarah Longo, they got me they were trying to give me amateur fight, but nobody accept the fight because they see all my videos on YouTube and they said no, this guy is
crazy.
Nobody fighting amateur, even tight or nothing. So and then I have to fight pro, and then okay, and then they find somebody. This guy already has the title 4-1 or somebody. Okay, and the pro debut was I guess good guy, and then I was fighting crazy again, like I used to fight in Georgia, like just go crazy, and somebody called me. Sorry. Okay. And then I was fighting crazy, and then like I dropped him, and then this guy tried to wrestling me, and then we were scrambling. He take me down, I take him down, and he was guess more better jiu-jitsu, and then he controlled me on the ground, and and I lost my pro debut split decision. No, majority decision or something like that. Yeah, and then that was very close fight. Like some people think I was thinking I win, but broken nose. I lost my first pro fight, but you know people love it. I did good, and I learned a lot. And then I said, okay, it's okay. I will continue. And the second fight, I win. And then once I find that I will win second fight, and they call me and like another organization, you want to fight in 3 weeks? I said yes, of course. I was always looking for fight. And I take fight after 3 weeks, and I get ear infection. I still fight, make weight, but I wasn't myself, and I lost again with other guy. This guy, same thing. He controlled me on the ground, and I said that was like big heartbroken. I said I'm 1-2 now, like, and then you know if you go, you want to go UFC, you have to be like, you have to have a good record. You have to win, like, you have to have a good winning streak. And I said, I'm working construction, I'm losing fights. And it's okay. And then I take off like 1 year and a half. I was still training, but I don't know. You know, I said I was working, and I said, okay, maybe I enjoy life and more girls. like this, and then okay, and then but that when I take time off and I wasn't fighting, that's where I realized I love fighting, I miss fighting. I said I don't care if I don't make money, if I lose fights, if I don't go UFC, I will go fucking China, I will go Russia, I will beat everybody. I broke nose, I lost, no problem. I will work construction, make money for travel, and just go fight for free. But then I come back, and then I win 6 straight. Yeah. And then they give me, I win title, and then they give me the fight against Rufián Stotts. And then when I check him, I see this guy 8-0. He feel like such a great guy, good wrestler, good fighter. And that was my chance to go UFC. I know then I was coming to watch this fight. And I've been watching people looking for a fighter, and if you do something successful, if you win against good guy,
they will bring you UFC. So I knew that that was my chance, and that was my chance to quit my job, which is was so hard. Like, I was building house, framing, roofing, window, door, foundation, hard work. No inside job. So and then and yeah, I was just prepared. I was just ready for war, and the first combination I did kick and spinning back fist, and then I was ready for war, and then I was gonna fight hard, and then this guy dropped down, and I was so happy.
That was amazing. I mean, that was incredible. And then you got called to the UFC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How soon after did you get the UFC call? Was it like the next day, the next week?
No, that actually same night. And as soon as I win and knock him out, and he was good guy, and then I was sitting watching us, and I was so happy, and he was shocked, then I was shocked, because then I actually came to him. And he came to him, and they was accept to he can beat me, and they can sign him, and he can go UFC.
Oh, wow.
But then you lost your first two UFC fights.
Yeah, that was... So
you must have been kind of shaky there too, right?
Yeah, of course. So I go UFC. I was happy, but I was waiting for my UFC fight 6-7 months. They don't give me fight. And I know they... Yeah, so I win fight, and then after Dana White... And his camera crew came to locker room. They said, "Oh, congratulations! You are a UFC fighter. Welcome!" Bam, bam, bam. And then I quit my job, but I realized I don't know when I'm gonna fight. And I go again. I started work again, construction. But that time I was working inside, not outside prison, not inside. You know, like doing some work inside. So it was little easy work. So, but okay. And so I win this fight June 2nd, and then my next fight was December 10th. Actually, it's actually anniversary, I think, to my first fight UFC today. No, not today. In 2 days, 1 days. So, okay, they give me fight for December 10th, and I was training hard. And then, like, the New York, you know, like, how cold it is, and then the... One day after training, I take my t-shirt off, and like I have to take some picture for my like little sponsor or something. They send me some gloves, and I have to take picture with the gloves or something. And then I don't know, I get cold, and then I get infection, but not infection, the virus, some virus. I got COVID after like last year, but the virus I have before, nothing compared.
Yeah, virus. Yeah, yeah.
I was dying like 1 week to 10 days. I was like getting sweat, and like I was coughing so bad. But I don't turn fast down. I still cut weight. I still go. And then my first fight, I get so tired. And I still got takedown records, 11 takedowns against Zico. And then, I lost with decision, but I was tired. But I was thankful to God twice. I come out. I wasn't, because I was so hard. I was dying inside, and then I know I wasn't feeling good. I shouldn't fight, but I still fight. But I know in my head I know what happened. You know, I lost because of I was sick. I know because I wasn't good fighter. But second fight, I was fighting hard against Ricky Simon. I know he's tough, and I have to fight hard. And I was winning the fight. But I was pressure. And then when 1 minute was left, and he started back up, like running back. And I was chasing him. And I said, okay, I'm going to take him down again and finish on top strong. And I shoot, I lift, and I land my, you know, when I was taking down, we both land to my and then the neck got pinched nerve. I don't know what's the call. I can explain, you guys know.
Yeah.
So and then got pinched nerve fucked up, and then when I get down, I got a little shocked. And then I'm like, what's going on? I cannot fucking use my arm. And like, well, what should I do now? Like, I can't. And then I was paused a little bit. But, and then he grabbed me, he turned me out, and he tried to choke me. And then I'm like, I cannot fight with his hand because my arm is paralyzed.
Right.
Yeah. But, and fuck, I try to use my, it doesn't work. And then I try to like fight with the hand, neck, something like, and then he still choked me hard and it's getting tight. And then the referee is watching me in my eyes. And I said, I'm like, my eyes are fighting. I show him thumbs, you know, this is the least I can do. And I show him thumbs, don't stop me. And then he's looking at me, I'm fine, I'm not going out, you know, like, and then he's not stop me. And then the Ricky still choke me, and then I realize I have to stop moving my foot because he's gonna stop me. And I shaking my, like, moving legs to like this because I want to show everybody I'm okay, I'm not out. And then one moment I remember I look time again, and then 35 seconds left, I'm like, fuck, I'm not gonna give this fight because I was winning. I know they have to go decision, I'm winning this fight. And then I'm not topping, no way. And then I show again thumbs. And I finally, the warning came that he let me go. And then I tried to get up. You know, as soon as he let me go, I tried to get up and I was almost up. And then the doctors came in, and then the doctors, New York commissioner, I know that those doctors, and then I was respectful. And then they tell me, lay down. And I trust them. If I don't know if I was fighting other states.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna let them trust. And I, fuck you, I will say like, oh, come on, let me get up. But because I know them, I was respectful. And I say, okay, you know, I trust them, you know, because they let me, lay down. I lay down, and then, of course, after 15 minutes fight, you know, it was, I lay down, I stay down longer, a little longer. And I tell them, let me get up, I'm good. But they said, no, lay down. And whatever, so and I guess the Mark Gada, he was like main referee from outside, and he say, oh, he was in and out.
Oh, no, I remember that fight. I was wondering why you were doing that thing with your leg. I thought maybe that was a way for you to stay awake.
Yes.
That makes...
That was two, and then one more thing to show. That helped me, actually. I started because of I want to show everybody to I was still alive. I wasn't out. Yeah. I started moving feet because I cannot use my arm, show like what a fight or...
Our best deals on every iPhone.
Right.
I'm trying to watch this ending right here.
It was crazy. It was the craziest ending. I didn't know what. I thought maybe you wanted to get more cardio in or something. It looked like I was like maybe he had to get his steps.
You never went out. You never went out.
No, he never went out. I didn't realize it was
so frustrating. I would be furious if I were you. That must be what's more frustrating than someone getting submission when you weren't submitted.
Yeah, that was hard. Like. I was close, like that. You know, that choke was close, but I never went out. I know. If I go sleep, okay, no problem. You win. If I top, okay, no problem. You win. If Rappelli stop me, I will tell him why you stop me because I don't top. I'm not sleeping. That's why he don't stop me. But who was this fucking outside Rappelli Margada? He say, oh, he was in and out. If Rappelli let me fight. And then go decision because I'm not sleeping. I'm not going out. Sorry.
I can't. You're the toughest person in the world because you had
by
no.
Way, I'm watching this and you're not. I'm watching the fight right now. You're not out at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The commentators were flipping out. I think it was Rogan or somebody.
You're completely moved. I see why you're doing that with your legs. You're kneeing his butt. You're like, I'm up.
Yeah. Well, listen. That's all bridge on the water because you've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've won 7 fights in a row since then.
Oh. My heart's I'm watching this. My heart's breaking. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You're right. You laid down because they told you, whatever. You won. You're still champ.
I mean, you've won 7 fights in a row, possibly 8. You're right there. If Aljamain does lose, I don't think he's going to lose, but if he loses, will you avenge your friend's loss and call out Petr Yan?
No, my friend's going to win.
I know he's gonna win. I know he's gonna win. But let's say he's set up a banana peel or something, or something happens. I think he's gonna win too.
Listen.
Yes.
Sorry. So my friend Aljamain Sterling will beat Peter Yan, and if he will be okay to fight again, and if he's still alive and he's not injured or anything, we can fight after. But my friend beat him. You guys will see. And this
is too. Yes.
Soon.
What happens if you have to fight Aljamain? What are you gonna do if you guys get paired up against each other?
No, we never. I don't want to fight. Aljo don't want to fight. We are never gonna fight each other. We are friends. We are best friends, and I love him, and I look up him, and I tell you, he choked me 3 times in 5 minutes.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago, though. That was a long time ago, man. All right. Well, listen, Merib, are you coming to the show tonight? The comedy show in Vegas.
It's tonight.
Tonight and tomorrow night, and Sunday night, 8:00.
Okay, tonight. So, I will try. What time is it?
It's at 8:00 at the Strat.
Okay, so maybe can I come with my friend?
Yes, come with anybody you want.
Okay, I will try. I can also.
Okay, no problem. Well, listen, thank you for being on the podcast. Have a great upcoming week. You're the best.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you more, man.
All right,
bye.
I love that.
Nicest guy ever, right?
Yeah, I just like that level of like work ethic and like, so I decided to work. What's bizarre is like the UFC signs him and he still has to work construction until his next fight.
Until his first fight.
Well, yeah, until his first. That's like, do they not give you a holding fee?
No.
Whoa, I didn't know that. That's fucking nuts, man.
No. I mean, there are a lot of fighters out there with part-time jobs or even full-time jobs. I mean, Stipe Miocic was the heavyweight champion, was a full-time firefighter.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but it's weird because like, you're an actor and you get a development deal with NBC. They give you $100,000 just to sit on your fucking ass.
Yeah.
Well, you it's crazy.
It's crazy. But you're right, though. I mean, as far as like that work ethic, you can't – we don't have that work ethic here in America.
No.
Like people aren't gonna get up on a bike and ride 30 minutes to in the snow.
Can you imagine? He came not knowing any English,
yeah.
And he just no friends, just like worked out and did construction. Like I didn't even want to go to a new town.
He went to one gym. He was hitting a bag all day, and they were getting Muay Thai fights and like boxing. He's like, I'm not a boxer. Yeah, I mean. They must have went crazy when he walked into Cerro Longo, though. It must have been like...
I know. I wish. I want to hear a better telling of that story. Like, it must have been like the first time he did jiu-jitsu. I'm assuming that's a jiu-jitsu gym primarily, right?
Yeah. It must have been like, who the fuck is it? Who's this guy? Like, where did this guy come from?
He's a black belt judo, too. He's probably throwing people across the room.
Yeah. It shows you how good Aljamain is. Aljamain, like, tapped him 3 times in 5 minutes. Though, I mean, I would love to see the fight now. I mean, that guy, like... Everyone, they say his work ethic. He just his last fight. I mean, he got like he was getting clobbered, and he came back and won. I've never seen a comeback like this before.
Wow,
best comeback I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But Bill, what do you got coming up?
What do I got coming up? Oh well, the Reno. I'm headlining the Reno Laugh Factory, the 14th, 19th.
Nice.
Next week ish. That's it.
Nice. Well, I'm in Vegas at the Strat if you want to come this week. And then go to adamhuntercomedy.com. I've got upcoming shows in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Little Rock, and Des Moines, Iowa, and Cabo, Mexico.
Cabo?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. When are we going to do shows together, Adam? Come on.
Whenever you want. Talk to Manny Maldonado. He's booking it in Cabo.
Very cool.
But thank you, Bill. Thank you for everything. And thank you to our guests, and thank you, Britton Hart, and thank you, Merab. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.